Now, I want to draw your attention to that verse there in verse 15. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The title of my sermon tonight is Addicted to the Ministry. Now, would there be anybody in here that could say, happened to you, kind of like what happened to me when you got saved? They said, oh, there goes Brother Manley again. Let's see what he's into. Or they didn't call me brother, but they said, oh, there goes Manley again. Let's see what he's into now. What has he done gotten himself into now? What kind of new phase is he going through now? Maybe they said something like, we'll just see how long this little phase lasts. Then maybe they said something like, he must be in a cult. Or maybe some of your family members said, they must be in a cult. Or they must be addicted to this Jesus thing. I mean, come on, for real? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night at a revival, soul winning, tithing, supporting missionaries. Man, he done gone off the deep end. What kind of cult is he involved in now? Anybody have anybody say anything that like that about you? But see, what they didn't realize was they didn't know how biblical what they were saying was. I mean, I'm supposed to be doing that, right? Aren't we supposed to be doing that? Amen? They didn't know how biblical that was. Now, we read that these early Christians addicted themselves to the ministry. And by the way, just as a side note, I've been serving Jesus now for 20 years, and it still ain't some little phase I'm going through, praise God. I still ain't got over it. I put my faith and I put my trust in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His name's Jesus. Amen. He ain't never left me. He ain't never forsaken me. And tell you what, if I'm dreaming, do me a favor, don't wake me up. Because the Bible says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000, praise God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather wash toilets in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Amen? I hadn't got over it. I don't want to ever get over it. When I read 1 Corinthians chapter 16 recently, I thought, wow, I'm supposed to be addicted to the ministry. Now, first of all, I'm supposed to be addicted to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Second of all, I'm supposed to be addicted to my family. But then I'm supposed to be addicted to the ministry, to church. Now, why is it that I don't want to be addicted to church before I'm addicted to my family? Family's first, right? Why is that? No family, no ministry, right? Now, I'll tell you a man in the Bible who put his ministry before his family and it ruined his family. His name's David. You say, David? David didn't have a ministry. Oh, yes, he did. You remember when David was on a run and he had to hide out in the cave of Adullam? He had almost 400 men gathered together to him that he had to captain over them about their indebtedness, their discontentedness, their distress. David had plenty of people to minister to. David had his entire brother's house. He had his brethren and in his entire father's house that came to him. He had to minister to Abigail. You remember when Abigail's husband passed away and he took it upon himself to console her and comfort her, counsel with her. He moved in on her. Oh, he had plenty of people to minister to. He was ministering to everybody else, putting everybody else before the main one. Who's the main one he left out? We talked about it today. Michal. Hey, where's Michal at, David? Yeah, don't tell me David couldn't have set up a secret rendezvous with Michal. I know he was hiding. You say, well, it would have blown his cover. It didn't blow his cover when he had two secret meetings with Jonathan, did it? You see how David's putting everybody else before his wife? The main one that matters, amen? And by the way, It ruined his marriage. The rest of his life, he never had a physical relationship with his wife. Have you ever wondered why Michal was nagging him so bad when he was dancing before the Lord? How she was nagging him, and how many times I've read that and I've been like, man, why is she sweating small stuff? But now do you understand why she was sweating small stuff? The underlying issue was the fact David neglected her. David never called for her. David never sent for her. If he did, then why didn't the Bible record it? I believe it all in my heart. It was because David never sent for her. He looked out for everyone else but her. Now, David's a good example to us in a lot of ways. A lot of ways. He's a great example. But this marriage is not the kind of marriage you would want to have. But it's the kind of marriage you can expect when you put your ministry or your church before your family. Amen. So who should we be addicted to first? Jesus. Who comes next? Family. And then who next? Church. Amen. Your ministry. Now I pray God would help me to always pour my heart in my family first. That's something that I've not always done. But when I read this about these early New Testament Christians addicting themselves to the ministry, I didn't know exactly what that meant. You know, what does this addicted word mean? So I did what every good preacher should do. I went back to the Greek. Just kidding, Brother Menez. You can breathe. You can breathe, Pastor. I'm just kidding. Because a long time ago, the first independent Baptist church I ever joined, I had my pastor, wise man, told me, he said, a red flag should go up when you hear preachers saying that. Because you look up one of these Greek words, and there may be 10 or 15 different definitions. And what they'll do is they'll go in and cherry pick whatever one they want to make fit so they can bend and flex that Bible verse to fit their doctrine. But I did go back to the 1828 Webster's, okay? And addicted means devoted by customary practice. Addicted is only mentioned in the Bible one time. So I was just curious to see what Webster said about it. He said, devoted by customary practice. And when I started thinking about being devoted or addicted, thoughts started flooding my mind about a man I've known all my life back home who's addicted to crack cocaine. His nickname is Smurf. Now, from what I hear and understand, Smurf's doing better now. And I've got a lot of stories I could tell about Smurf, but I just don't have time. But being from such a small town like I grew up in, I had opportunity to closely observe Smurf over the 20-plus years of being an addict. Smurf was very devoted to his addiction. Very devoted. Now, this great devotion that Smurf has, and a lot of addicts, maybe some even in here, addicts in the past before you got saved, or addicts that you know of in your family, I think you would agree with me that they all possess a great devotion. And this great devotion that some of these addicts have is a devotion that possesses certain characteristics and traits that I believe should typify every follower of Jesus Christ. Now that may sound a little bit strange, but if we treated our addiction, church, what we're supposed to be addicted to, church, like they treated their addiction, we could get something done for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now I agree this sounds strange, but I really feel like this will edify us tonight if you'll stay with me as I try my best to give you five quick points about my personal observations of a true, bona fide addict. And I will say this, but by the grace of God, I'd be an addict tonight. But I want to start out by saying, number one, addicts that have jobs work all week long for one day. One day. Did you know that an addict, all they have on their mind all week long is Friday. Friday. Can't wait to get to Friday. If I could just hang in there a few more days, it'll be Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Now, do you know why an addict gets so excited about Friday? Payday. Do you know, have anybody here ever heard of Reformers Unanimous? Now, a lot of independent fundamental Baptist churches have a ministry called Reformers Unanimous. And one of the reasons why they have Reformers Unanimous is because addicts get paid on Friday. And they have it Friday night, so it'll kind of occupy their time, so not be tempted to go out and drink and drug around and everything. Now, you say, Brother Manley, I'm not knocking RU, okay? They do a lot of good and help a lot of people. But you say, Brother Manley, are you going to have RU at your church? Yes, sir, I am. Are you in church Sunday morning? Are you in church Sunday night? Are you in church Wednesday night? Are you soul winning? Amen. Y'all got that type of program here, don't you? You got that RU program here, don't you, Pastor Menez? That's the kind of RU that's kept me clean over the years. That's the kind of RU that's kept my family, my marriage together. Amen. That's the kind of RU I'm going to have. Because David said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Just like Friday is an addict's favorite day, church day should be our favorite day. Amen. Come excited. Come expecting to receive a blessing and learn something. Brother, if it's obvious Pastor Jimenez studies hard and he puts his time in. Amen. Come expecting to receive a blessing. Amen. Now, you'll never see an addict lose their excitement about payday. No, sir. You won't do it. You won't see an addict lose their excitement about payday. But I see a bunch of Christians lose excitement about church. And we all, if we're not careful, can find ourselves in that situation. You know why? Because the Bible says, a full soul loatheth in honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Amen? Amen? You know why you're not hungry for church sometimes? You know why you're not excited for church sometimes? Because you're full on the world's junk. Amen? Hey, when you're full on the world's junk, a honeycomb isn't even good for you, good to you. Amen? Full on the world's junk, the world's music, world's television, even the world's news. Amen? I've had to just kind of push away from listening to news a lot. You know, I've been trying to keep up what's going on here in Paris the past couple of days, but I very rarely listen to news anymore. You know what you need to do? You need to shut off that stinking Sean Hannity, AM station 1010, and get on some Alexander Scorby, AV station 1611, praise God. Amen? That's what we need to do. That'll help you. We need to get excited about Sunday. Amen? Quit inviting people for Amway and invite people for Sunday, praise God. I've been excited all week about today. Man, I love being with God's people. I love being in God's house. I've been excited about it all day. I couldn't wait for Sunday. Amen? Number one, I said addicts work all week for one day. Number two, an addict does whatever it takes to get the job done. Amen. Now, who here knows what a country ham is? Anybody here know country ham? I'm a long way from home. I realize that. But if you go to Cracker Barrel, okay, thank God for Cracker Barrel. Now, you go to Cracker Barrel and you look up on the walls, a lot of them have these country hams. What it is, it's a salt-cured ham. It's a shelf-stable ham. It's been preserved, and it'll have like aluminum foil around it, and it'll have a burlap bag around it. Now, you see them a lot down south. You know, people give them away for Christmas and stuff, but I saw Smurf one day on the street corner trying to sell a country ham in a toaster oven. I mean, anything he'd get his hands on, buddy, he's serious about getting the job done. He was dedicated to get his fix, and he would do whatever it took to get the job done. Now, I've seen some Christians that are exact opposite. They'll find any old excuse not to get the job done. Preacher, I can't come to church tonight. I'm sorry, Pastor Menez, I can't come to church tonight. Granny and Pawpaw are in town. Now, I don't know what y'all call them here in California, but down south is Granny and Pawpaw, all right? Pastor, I'm sorry I can't go soul winning. I got a sore throat, amen? Any old excuse not to get the job done. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good airman of Jesus Christ for Pastor Jimenez. Amen? As Christians, we need to put our big boy pants on and get it done. Amen? We need to put our big boy pants on. Now, some woman somewhere, that's all she heard. She heard, amen, Brother Manley said, I can put some pants on. But hey,
We need to get the job done. Amen. Pastor Jimenez needs some warriors that will stick around through the good times and the bad times. When the numbers are up, when the numbers are down. When you're on a mountaintop and when you're just existing and barely holding on. When you have a packed church house and when some leave because the media is calling you a hate group. And that's coming. If it ain't here already, it's knocking at your door. Amen. When people are saying good things about Pastor Jimenez on Facebook and when they're tearing him down, do whatever it takes to help him get the job done. Amen. You got to hang in there like a hare in a biscuit. Or y'all probably eat tamales around here, so hang in there like a hare in a tamale. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of doors around here that need knocking, a lot of souls around here that need saving. Amen. I said, number one, addicts work all week for one day. I said, number two, an addict does whatever it takes to get the job done. And number three, an addict's life, his friends, his time, his money is centered on his addiction. And do you know that an addict's friends, he's going to hang around people that like to smoke the same kind of dope he likes to smoke. Or like to drink the same kind of drink he likes to drink. And do you know who our friends should be? People who like the same kind of stuff we do. They like Jesus. Amen. They like the Bible. They like soul winning. Amen. Amen. Our friends should be centered on our addiction, church. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if you're more comfortable hanging around the world's crowd than you are God's crowd, something's wrong somewhere. Amen. Amen. I like being with God's people. And I'm not talking about the Jews when I say that either. I'm talking about the saved, the blood washed.
Amen.
You know, our time should be centered on our addiction. Hey, Smurf was doing whatever it took. He was spending whatever time he needed to take to get his addiction. We need to be spending time on our addiction. Ephesians 4:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now look around, it's not getting any better. It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen?
Amen?
Not much time left. All hands on deck. Boy, we had a good crowd out soul winning today. That's awesome. Keep it up. We need to get as many people in a lifeboat as we can. Hey, Republicans ain't going to do a stinking thing. The only hope for our country is to get as many people in the lifeboat, get as many people saved as we can get them saved. Amen? Our money should be tied up on our addiction. Tell me what else better to invest your money in than keeping people out of hell. Hey, Smurf and all these addicts put all their money, they tie all their money up in their addiction. Now, what else better than keeping people out of hell? What a shame it takes missionaries most of the time 3 or 4 years to get to the mission field. Now, Smurf is funded to purchase more gold teeth, Jordans, curb feeler tires, spinner rims, 12-inch woofers. He can send 10 families to the mission field. And what a shame it is that it takes our missionaries so long to get to the field. Now, turn to Malachi 3:10. I like it the way y'all do it. I like the example that Pastor Jimenez and Pastor Anderson, Pastor Romero, Pastor Berzins have set for some of us other preacher boys out there. It's doable. Get you a job, work, start in your house, and build a church. That's doable. Amen? I like the example they've set. Malachi 3:10. What else better to invest your money on than in souls? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, we'll get to Malachi 3:10 in a minute, but I tell you, I believe the only reason why God hadn't dropped a hammer on our country, I believe the only reason God's putting up with our filth and stinking perversion and immorality, the only reason he hadn't dropped a hammer and he continues to prop up our failed economy is because we've still got some Christians in our country that are laying up treasures in heaven. Amen. And still investing in souls, and missionaries are still being sent. As wicked as we are, thank God we're still sending missionaries. I mean, we have missionaries almost on a monthly basis coming to our church for support. Monthly basis. Sometimes 2 and 3 times a month. So I think that's the only thing that's keeping God from just dropping a hammer and shutting this whole mess down. You know, investing your money in church is investing it in your freedoms, and it's investing it in our country. Amen? You know, investing your money in church is also investing it in your children. I'm talking to you about tying your money up in your addiction. Look at Malachi 3:10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm not a farmer. Is anybody here a farmer? Now, I used to a little bit growing up in high school. When I was in high school, I used to farm tobacco from North Carolina. But hey, I got a few fruit trees, and I got a small little garden. But I'm going to tell you, I would think you would agree, most of us in here, the only real fruit that we have that we really care about is the fruit of the womb. Amen? Amen. So I tell you what I'm doing. I'm claiming this verse right here over my five children. Because I just believe, I just have faith. Now call it a stretch of Scripture if you want to. But I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ, in my Heavenly Father, that if He would be willing, if I bring my tithes to the storehouse all my days, that if He'd be willing to rebuke the devourer from the fruit of the ground, how much more would He be willing to make Satan keep his stinking meat hooks off my kids? Because that's the real fruit I care about. And that's what I'm claiming this verse for. Amen? So investing your money in your church is investing it in our country and our freedoms. Investing your money in your church, I believe, and I'm claiming, is investing it in my children. Amen? And I know they have free will, but I'm asking God to protect my children. I said, number one, addicts work all week for one day. Number two, an addict does whatever it takes to get his fix. Number three, an addict's life is centered on his addiction. His friends, his time, his money is all centered on his addiction. And number four, an addict takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Now, Smurf would come up to my dad's house. My dad had a swimming pool. And Smurf and his buddy Seagull would come up to my dad's house and want to swim during the summer. Now, my dad would let him swim, and he would say, okay, you can swim, but you got to clean the pool. You got to scrub the algae off the walls, and they would do it. And old Seagull came up to the house one day wanting to go swimming. He took his shirt off of getting the pool, and he had a perfect rectangular brick print on his chest. And I said, man, what in the world happened? Evidently, there was a drug deal that went bad, and somebody hit him and knocked him on the ground and picked up a brick and just threw it as hard as they could and hit him on his chest. I mean, just a perfect rectangular brick. But guess what? He took a licking and still kept on ticking, amen? Amen. He still went out that night. He didn't let a little old brick to his chest slow him down, amen? Amen. Didn't stop him. It didn't make him quit. He took a licking. He was still ticking. We got a bunch of panty-waist Christians that will leave church because somebody didn't shake my hand. What kind of nonsense is that? Pastor Jimenez didn't put my birthday in the bulletin. I'm out of here. Take a licking and keep on ticking, amen? You got to be able to put up with some stuff. You got to be able to handle it when preacher nails your hide, amen? Somebody said you got to be a Christian, you need to have a duck's back and an alligator skin. Amen? Let things run. Just be tough like an alligator. Let things run off your back like a duck's back. Amen? Amen? Now, just to show you how Satan works in churches. This has been recently. I was just thinking about it, so I'll put it in my sermon here. I'm sitting on a pew in my church. My wife, she's been on bed rest. She's had a real difficult pregnancy, and I don't think she was there at that service. I was there with a couple of my kids. And we were sitting down, and I looked to my corner, and this young man walked in and sat down by himself. Now, I noticed, gentlemen, because I'm trying to disciple him. I'm carrying him soul winning, trying to train him how to be a soul winner. I don't want him sitting by himself. You know, I've been taught, hey, be friendly. Like, and I commend y'all on that. If somebody asked me if I'd go out to eat with them today, I mean, y'all, this is an awesome church. I didn't know people could be this friendly in California, but I've been very impressed. Amen. A lot of Southern hospitality here. You're doing a good job, brother. But so I see him sitting down. So I wanted to get up and go over there, and so he's not sitting by himself, and befriend him. And as I'm getting up, there was another family sitting down at the exact moment. So it kind of bothered her. This lady approached me after church and said, is everything okay? She said, because I noticed when my family sat down, y'all got up and moved. And I said, sis, I appreciate you coming to me and telling me about that. And I explained the situation to her. And she understood, and she's not the type of person to sweat small stuff. And the reason why is because she kind of gets things out. You know, she doesn't get bitter and simmer things. She gets them out in the open. And I told her, I'd appreciate you coming to me and talking to me about this. And I explained the situation to her. But I'm just trying to tell you, see how Satan can work and try to get you to focus in and sweat small things about a church? You got to be able to take a licking and keep on ticking. Amen? Amen. You got to be tough. Don't sweat small stuff. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. Hey, when you start sweating little small stuff like that, and little small stuff starts getting to you, there should be a low oil light blinking on your dashboard. That's kind of like a gauge. You know, you kind of run it empty on the Word of God. Check your dipstick. You're not reading the Word, amen? You're not getting into the Word when you start sweating small stuff. Now, this is lastly, and this is my personal favorite. Number five, an addict has no problem knocking doors. Now, do you mind if I say that Southern style, brother? Is it all right if I let it rip one time, Southern style? An addict ain't got no problem knocking doors, amen? I didn't know if I want to speak tongues, you know, Southern tongues here, but I can't tell you how many times Smurf knocked on our door. My dad's name's Mike. Michael Manley Perry. Manley's my middle name. They called him Mike. Hey, Mike. You want to buy a socket set? Hey, Mike, you want to buy a drill? Just anything he could find trying to scrounge up a few dollars for his addiction. Now, honestly, you know the only time the average Baptist knocks a door? When they're selling Girl Scout cookies or vacuum cleaners. And that's the truth, amen? Now, last time I checked, knocking doors is still in that King James. Still in the King James. It had never been taken out. It won't never be taken out. But those of us who practice old-fashioned, daily in the temple and in every house, every house, every house, every house, every house, every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. We're dinosaurs. We're like dinosaurs. But I'm glad to see some new lives being breathed into our movement. Amen. I'm glad to see God's raising up a new generation to do great exploits and to do greater works. Amen. In these last days. Amen. And I want to get in on it. Amen. I want a part of that. Amen. Now, old-timey Baptists, see, door knock is not just for the cults, okay? Because old-timey Baptist was knocking doors a long time before there was ever a Latter-day Aint or a Jehovah's Sickness or a Way of the Disaster. Amen? Because that's what they're doing, a bunch of works out of hell nonsense. But here goes my vision for San Antonio, and I believe this is a vision all of our church should have. Acts 20:20. Now, I never noticed this till the other day. Acts 20:20 says, Paul taught publicly and from house to house. Amen. No better vision than that. No better vision than door-to-door, house-to-house evangelism. I want to build a soul-winning army that has Acts 20:20 vision. House-to-house vision. Double-wide to double-wide vision. Ghetto to ghetto vision. Amen. As many doors as we can knock vision. Now, I'm talking about equal opportunity door knocks. Every door gets a knock, but especially the poor doors. Because they're the main ones interested in the gospel anyway. Now, listen to you as I read from Matthew chapter 11. Now, I don't want you to turn there because I want to quiz you. I don't want you running ahead of me. But I want to point out to you what I believe, and I'm emphasizing here on taking the gospel to the poor. Now, yeah, I want to knock on every door in San Antonio. My pastor's done a great chunk of it there where he's at, but there's a lot of doors still need knocking. Amen? And I got a vision to knock on every door in San Antonio, but especially those poor doors. And that's why I'm putting our church, well, we got plenty of ghettos and plenty of apartments we can knock. Amen? Because there's a great turnover in those areas. So you can, I mean, you go back to the same door 6 months later, there's probably a new person living there. But listen to you as I read from Matthew. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, I believe what's going on here, you'd be familiar with the story. What I believe is going on here is John the Baptist is kind of down in the mouth, just like you and I would be if we had been locked up. We're working for Jesus, and we get locked up. I believe he's down in the mouth here. I believe he's a little bit upset here because he's thinking, how am I supposed to be the voice crying in the wilderness when I'm in jail? You know? He says, you know, he knew who Jesus was. He baptized Jesus. He saw the Spirit descend on Jesus Christ in the shape of a dove. He heard the Father say, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's asking, are you he or should we look for another? But do you really think he didn't know who Jesus was? He knew who Jesus was. He's having a little pity party here, and I believe I would too, and you would too. Jesus is saying, I believe John's saying, you know, last time I checked, you were the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, cuz. Don't you think you could have pulled some strings and kept me from getting locked up? You know, after all, I was being about the Father's business. You know, it looks like you could have run some interference for me here, Jesus. I believe that's what he's saying. Now, Jesus replies to him and he says, simmer down there, John. Simmer down. Cool your jets. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Amen. I got it all under control, John. And this is what he says to him to prove and remind him who's in charge, who's running the show, who's in control of this deal. Jesus said unto them, go and show John again these sayings which you do hear and you see. Now, I want you to notice something. When he starts telling these miracles, I want you to notice there's a progression to these miracles. I believe he's starting out small here, and he starts building each miracle. He starts building. Now, listen to the first miracle. The blind receive their sight. Now, none of these miracles are small miracles, don't get me wrong, but he's building each time. Okay, and the lame walk. So the blind, none of these miracles are easy, but Jesus had something to work with. You know, they probably had, maybe he just had to fuse something together in their eyes to get him to work. The lame walk. I mean, he's already got some legs he's working with. He's just got to fix them. The lepers are cleansed. He's making withered hands and withered feet whole again. Now, I think this is a progression here. He says the deaf hear. Because now he's taking something, and most of the time when people are deaf is because they have a lack of hair cell receptacles. So now he's actually starting to work with something now that he doesn't have. He's bringing something into this person's ears and healing this guy's ears. Now, the dead are raised. Do you see the progression here? Does it get much better than the dead being raised? I think Jesus is building here. He's building. I believe Jesus is showing us what his greatest earthly miracle is, and he's using this to remind John, I'm in control. Anybody want to take a guess what his greatest earthly miracle was? Sir? And the poor have the gospel preached to them, praise God. Amen. Jesus' greatest miracle that he did each and every one of us in here can have a part in. Amen? The pinnacle of his ministry, I believe, was preaching the gospel to the poor. You know, and sometimes I believe our ladies in our churches oftentimes feel like they get left out. I'm excited to see ladies tonight out soul winning. Amen. That was exciting. I don't want ladies to feel, and I see that every time I go to Pastor Anderson's church, a lot of ladies soul winning. Amen, that's exciting. But I believe women oftentimes, ladies oftentimes make the best soul winners. Now this is something that dawned on me the other day. I don't know if it's true, this is my opinion. Do you know why? Have you ever thought about why Jesus Christ revealed himself to a woman? The first person he revealed in his resurrected body was to a woman. Has anybody ever thought about that before? I'll tell you why I believe he did that, okay? Now, before, he tried to keep everything on the down low. You know, he would do some miracles, and he would try to keep a tight lid on it, keep a tight wraps on it. He would say, now, don't tell anybody. For one reason, he didn't want to be taken by force and thrust in a position of being a physical king on this earth. I believe another reason was because it's pretty difficult to get anything done when you got crowds following you all the time. Can you imagine how difficult it'd be for Michael Jordan to go door to door, soul winning with a crowd? So Jesus is trying to keep some of the things he does on the down low. But when he's ready to tell the whole world, when he's ready for everybody to hear about it, when he's ready for it to be all over Facebook, when he's ready for it to be all over the internet, all over YouTube, and when he's ready for it to be preached from door to door, who's the first person he tells? A woman, praise God. Amen. Because you don't never tell a woman anything you want to keep a tight lid on, amen? So I want to encourage you ladies tonight, amen? Preach, sister, preach, amen? Preach it. Just because you can't pastor, just because you can't preach and teach in the church over men, preach. Amen. Proclaim the good news from house to house. Amen. Amen. Women oftentimes make the best soul winners they are. Amen. Amen. Hey, Jesus said in Acts chapter 2 that all the way up to the time of the rapture, he's going to have some Holy Ghost-filled handmaids getting it done. Amen. Preaching from house to house. Amen. Don't you want to get some of that? I want to get some of it. Amen. I want to be a part of what God's doing in these last days. Amen. Amen. I want in on it. I plan to stand up, be counted in these last days. I want to let folks know whose side I'm on. Amen. I want to stand with men like Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Anderson, and some of these men. I want to stand with them. Amen. And encourage them. And I want to be identified with them. Amen. Now, I'll ask you this. Are you addicted to the ministry? Tonight, are you addicted to the ministry? Many may be struggling with the same old mess. Same old music, same old friends, same old dope, same old drink. Ain't it or isn't it time to get you a new addiction? Amen. Lord, help us to be addicted to the right things in these last days. Let's pray.